Sanooj Sharif joins us in the studio now. Stories from the subcontinent that Sanooj is following today for the ARN News Centre. Let's start in India, first of all, Sanooj. India easing foreign investment norms in the construction centre. The government hoping to attract, obviously, more and more money.
Yes, it's in an effort to attract more money to build new hotels, housing units and townships. In fact, India is looking to create 100 new smart cities by 2020, and to make that a reality, foreign capital is essential. Currently, the construction industry there is worth an estimated $126 billion, and this sector accounted for 11% of all foreign investment into the country in the last 10 years. But the pace of that investment seems to be slowing down. So the government has now decided to send out a strong signal to foreign players, saying that they are willing to relax certain norms in the sector.
So what kind of, you're talking about relaxed norms. Can you give us a little bit more detail? What does this actually mean?
Under the new rules, foreign investors are now allowed to invest in projects with a minimum built area of 20,000 square meters. Earlier, that was 50,000 square meters. Also, the minimum capital investment has been halved to $5 million. Plus, the revised policy allows the investor to exit on completion of the project. Also, it does away with the two-year lock-in period for repatriation of investment. Moreover, if these investors commit at least 30% of their project cost for low-cost housing, then there would be further relaxations on the minimum built-up area and capital requirement.
So is that going to be enough, Sanooj? Is that enough incentive? Is that exciting enough?
It said that these rules would appeal to small-scale investors or, you know, those with less cash or those that don't want to take big risks. So it does send a strong signal to some of those investors, but many other things need to be done at the same time, especially at the state level and at the city level, because the fact is that many important decisions are not in the hands of the federal government alone. For example, for getting hold of various approvals and tackling various regulatory requirements, it's up to individual states and municipalities. But it's been termed as a good step forward because even though previously India allowed 100% FDI in the real estate sector, there were strict conditions. But with the revised policy, some of those strict conditions have been done away with.
And it continues a theme, doesn't it, in India, of relaxing and approaching, I guess, the international community in some ways. It's more and more India opening up to foreign direct investment. Clearly India needs that, but it's something that we're starting to see some, I suppose momentum is probably too strong a word, but more and more.
Yes, momentum is too strong a word because so far we are yet to see the results of some of these announcements being made. Eventually what comes out of these steps, that's what, you know, everybody is waiting and watching.
Sanooj, can we take a look at your next story here? It's floating homes are planned to tackle overcrowding in the Maldives. The project will first start off with tourism-related developments. Now, for those of us who have flown into the Maldives, we come into Malé, and you just think, how can... It's the island is tiny. Where do they all go?
The thing is, though, isn't a floating home just a boat? Or is that me? Am I being pedantic here? It seems to me that a boat is... Are these actual houses that float?
Well, initially they are planning to get tourism projects, and after that they'll be focusing on affordable housing units. Now, it's said that they will be built on, you know, they're not just boats, but structures that will be floating along in the waters. Brilliant. So they'll be, you know, platforms built using styrofoam and concrete as well. There are two sides to this. One is taking the pressure off a severe housing shortage and also facing problems related to rising sea level. Initially, they'll start off with a tourism project that is a joint venture between the Maldivian government and a Dutch company that will be located near the capital, Mali, expected to be completed by 2017. And only after that, chances are that the floating homes project would take off.
Can I just ask, though, floating homes? I'm thinking of the current villas, the overwater villas that you see so many of in the Maldives. That's already tourism related. That's where people stay. On islands. How is this so different? It doesn't seem to be like a very unique idea in that region, in that area.
Well, it said that these structures, once developed, could float. They can extend up and down based on changing sea levels as well. So, you know, rather than being permanently moored or anchored at one location, they can move along with the change in water level. That's what they are saying right now.
Okay, so the existing tourism stuff, these tourism villages, those classic things you see where you can look over, you know, you sit on those lovely balconies, those little sea-facing areas, and you've got little windows and you can see the fish and all that, that's lovely. They're like on stilts, essentially. Yeah. These would float and I guess would be anchored in some way. So how's this been received, though? Because has this been done anywhere else? Is there any precedent for this?
Well, the same Dutch company is working on similar floating technology in cities like Dhaka, Jakarta and Manila, but they haven't taken off yet. Right. In all these cities, the focus is on catering to crowded slum areas facing risks of flooding. But as far as big luxury projects are concerned, Maldives appears to be the first stop. By and large, the move has been welcomed, but there are concerns and questions as to will they be environmentally feasible, technically viable, and whether people will be able to afford them eventually if these floating houses do become a reality. So these are some of the questions. But critics do agree that they could be useful in disasters, because during emergencies, the plan is to have the floating platform made of plastic bottles held together with scaffolding. So they could be used during floods and other emergencies. But again, the environmental aspect, technical aspect, and also ensuring that the local people are involved in the decision-making process, that's what analysts say is required if they are planning to take this on a bigger scale.